Philippians chapter 2 tonight. We'll spend the next several weeks here in this passage of Scripture. I love this passage, preached from here a number of times, and yet we never can exhaust the need to deal with this passage of Scripture, particularly coming out of the last section that we dealt with. Verse number 12, wherefore, and that wherefore is therefore a reason. Having said all he said in the verses prior, now he's making the statement in verse 12. My beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Let the church say amen. Father, would you bless us as we handle these all important verses in Scripture? All Scripture is important, but on this evening we are dealing with these passages of Scripture, and we pray for your help and guidance, for illumination, to be able to open God's word. We thank you, Lord, that we have a Bible that is the result of inspiration, been given by God, revelation, only what God could give. But we thank you for preservation, that you have kept it intact, and as it was given, we have received it. Now help us to be heeders and not just hearers, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've been dealing with the issue of joy. We saw in the first part of Philippians that joy comes from a single mind. Focus on the gospel. And because of the gospel, we fellowship in it. Because of the gospel, we want to see it furthered. Because the gospel is true, we must maintain our faith in the gospel. See, if you're living for God, you want to behave right, you got to keep believing right. You want to find people that go off and living crazy lifestyles, you're going to find people that change their foundation. I'm glad that whatever we used to stand on, if it was true, we can still stand on it. Amen. Christ, the solid rock I stand. We must earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. The body of beliefs, the credibility of the doctrine that God has given to us, it will never change. Truth will never become irrelevant. Truth will never become obsolete. Truth will never become impertinent. Listen to me. As long as truth is constant, whatever culture in which we live, truth will be relevant because truth never changes. And so Paul said, earnestly contend the faith of the gospel. It can't help you if you don't believe it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. To everyone that believeth. So it can't help you if you don't believe it. For unto us, the writer of Hebrews said, was the word preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The same two groups of people heard the same message. It helped us and it didn't help them. If the message was true and it helped us, it should help them too. But it didn't help them because they didn't mix it with faith. Come to church every single service. But if you don't put faith to what you hear, it won't help you. You got to mix it with faith. Now, God did his job when he gave us the Bible, but you need to do your job by believing it. And the reason why we have cults is not because, C-U-L-T-S, not Indianapolis Colts, I'm talking about false doctrine and heretics, is because people won't believe the Bible and therefore they're forced to come up with their own truth. You can't come up with truth. God said he is the truth. Amen. He's the truth. You don't come up with truth. All truth emanates from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe it. You must agree with it. You must assent to it. And the moment you believe it, it'll help you. Paul says our faith in the gospel must be maintained. It's so important. So we get joy from a single mind. And then we looked in the next part of Philippians and saw that we get joy from a submissive mind. That's where we began, if you would, chapter number 2, dealing with this submissive mind. And we saw in chapter number 2 the importance of this submissive mind. And we saw that it is so important. And in these verses, we found how this submissive mind is based on, if you would, an exhortation that we have. We receive the love of God, and we must all walk in unity because we are walking with the same submissive mind. And the demonstration of that submissive mind is the Lord Jesus Christ. Submission is putting myself aside. Submission is putting others before me. Submission is being obedient to the voice of God. Here's what Paul says. You want to find submission? Nobody came from higher and landed lower than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he was up there and came down here, what's wrong with us? We must be willing to submit, putting others before us and understanding that the mind of Christ is when you are lowered, God will lift you up. When you raise yourself up, God will bring you down. And Jesus was willing to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore and wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Jesus chose to be lower, and God chose to let him be lifted. Amen. Satan wanted to be lifted, and God chose him to be lowered. Amen. You want to follow Satan and get kicked down, or you want to follow Jesus and get lifted up? So we're dealing with submission. Tonight, I want to deal with verse number 12. And the next several weeks, 13, 14, maybe we get to verse 12 and 13. We might touch on verse number 14. Well, you know, but we're going to at least deal with verse number 12 and verse number 13. There's a lot of meat in there, and I want you to get it tonight. And we're dealing with this thing of submission. Listen, submission does not agree with our flesh. And we don't have to have children long before we find out that the flesh is unsubmissive. Before they can talk, they stiff up. Huh? Before they can say something, their actions are saying something. Amen. They don't want it. They pout, they cry, they kick. You put it in the crib, they throw it back out. They don't have to be taught sin. They got to be taught doing right, but don't have to be taught doing wrong. It's in them. We're bent that way. Shapen in iniquity, bent towards sin in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So when you got saved, you got the Spirit of God, but you didn't lose your flesh. That old wicked flesh still in there. And how many, you don't have to live very long, walk 5 minutes before you realize you still got a flesh. Amen. And it doesn't want to do right. And one of its characteristics is rebellion and obstinance. It instinctively fights against authority. Amen. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, young people, that's what's wrong with this hip-hop music. It's full of rebellion. Amen. Amen. And the reason why we got kids out there that are walking out there with pants falling off is not because they can't afford belts. They put them way down here and then tie the belt up. It is an issue of rebellion. Sensibility says wear it where your waist is. Rebellion says drop it down. Listen to me. I'm telling you, we don't need that music in our ears, and this is why they don't know how to respond to their parents, to their teachers, to their coaches, and ultimately to their God. The flesh is wired towards rebellion. So Paul said, get that carnality out of your life and let the mind of Christ be in you. And so the mind of Christ is a mind of submission. Tonight I want to look at this verse and deal with this workout of salvation. If you're taking notes tonight, we're dealing with submission. Last couple of weeks we talked about the mind of Christ, the submissive mind. I want you to write down in your notes tonight by way of title, submission is a workout. Submission is a workout. Now, listen to me. There's a reason why there are people who are actually going to heaven who are not enjoying the totality of their salvation experience. And it is not because they got a stale, old, or generic salvation. There's only one kind of salvation. If you got Bible salvation and we're all saved, we all got the same salvation. Now explain to me why Joe over here is saved and he's excited about serving God, and Susie over here is saved and she just barely enjoying serving God if they got the same salvation. Could I tell you, Susie doesn't need to go back to the store and trade her old salvation in for a new salvation. If she got it, she got good stuff. But Joe has understood this workout thing. Now look tonight at Paul's writing here in chapter number 2. And he says in verse number 12, work out your own salvation. Now, be careful, because the heretics will misinterpret this scripture and thereby try to justify legalism and work salvation. There's too much scripture to contradict that nonsense. One of them we just talked about, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said to Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Come on now. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, it didn't say he had to work in Christ. Amen. And by the way, the thief on the cross was still hanging there. He believed, and Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. If you have to work to get saved, how did he go to heaven if he died on the cross? Amen. You don't work to get saved. You trust Jesus Christ, who already did the work so you can be saved. So we're not dealing with works for salvation. Work out your salvation. I want to define this word so we understand what Paul is saying. In the Greek, the word is katergazoma. Don't ask me how to spell that, not because I can't, but I won't take time to spell it out to you. All right, katergazoma, it is in the Greek. Here's what it means. To achieve or bring about. To produce to full completion. It means to get the most out of. Now, I want you to think about this tonight. The word katergazoma in ancient culture was used to describe three different kinds of activities. The first would be to work out a math problem, okay? Anybody like math? Okay, so you add the columns, and you add, and you carry, and you put the one down, and you carry. You know what I'm saying? You're working it out. When your teacher grades your paper, one of the things that math teachers like to see is something called show your work, because they want to know you didn't use a calculator. They want to know that you actually know how to get the answer. How many of you know that it's not just about having the right answer, it's about knowing how to get the right answer? And by the way, we're raising kids who have learned how to tell us the right answer, but they haven't learned how to figure out the right answer. Don't just teach your kids rules, teach them relationship. So when they're out your house, they've learned enough about God how to find the right answer. So you work out a problem all the way through, so you arrive at a proper conclusion. Example number one. Here's the second way it was used. Used to work out a field for a farmer. He's got to work the field. I mean, he sows the seed, and he's got to work the field. He's got to plow. He's got to properly place the seed in the ground, and then he's got to collect the fruit properly to work out the field, and so that he covers the whole balance of the field where he has sown seed to properly collect the harvest. So you work out a math problem, you work a field in agriculture, but the third and the most vivid explanation of this katergazoma workout in Philippians chapter 2 is a miner working out a mine, M-I-N-E. I read a story about a miner with a shovel in a bucket. His desire in his mind was to find his gold. So to find his gold, he took that bucket and he took that shovel and he would dig. He would dig up dirt. Inside that dirt, he would hope to find gold. To find out what was dirt and what was gold, he would rinse that dirt with water. Some stuff looks like gold, but it ain't gold. Right. Amen. It's gold plated, but it's fake. So you got to rinse it with water to make sure it's really gold. Once he located the gold, he deposited the gold into the bucket and disregarded the dirt. He dug that way, this way, until he dug and couldn't find any gold. Once he dug out a certain direction this way and found out there was no more gold, he marked the spot where the last gold was found. He went this direction and did the same thing. When he got to where he was digging and couldn't find any more gold, he marked the spot where the last gold was found. He went this way, did the same thing. And when he got where there was no gold, he stopped digging, marked the spot where the last gold was found. Of course, you know what I'm saying. He went that way and did the same thing. By the time he had gone all four directions, he had marked off the places in his mind where the gold was located. From that point forward, he only dug where there was gold, because it made no sense to waste time digging up dirt in a mine where there was no gold. Once he found out there was gold in his mine, and he found out where the gold was located in his mine, his determination as a miner was to be the owner of a mine who got the most gold out of the mine that he owned. Here's what he was saying. I own the mine. There's gold in the mine. But just because I own it and there's gold located in it doesn't mean I'm enjoying it until I work to dig it. Somebody help me preach. Now here's what I'm saying. When Paul picked up his pen from prison and wrote to save people in Philippi, here's what he's saying. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, whether it was in a church or whether it was in a parking lot of a restaurant, when you got saved, you got born again. You got washed in the blood. You got redeemed. You got justified. You got adopted. You got cleansed. You got sanctified. You entered the family of God. You passed from death unto life. You became a child of God. And the moment you got saved, beloved, you received a gold mine. Amen. Every day I'm reminded of just how good it is to be saved. There's a lot of things I ended up in that I wish I never got into, but this thing called salvation, I'm glad I got into it. I'd never want to get back out of it. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm rich. You hear me now? I am rich in the grace of God. I am rich in the mercy of God. I am rich in the blessings of God. Every child of God saved by the grace of God is rich in the blessings and the promises of God. The problem is there are a lot of rich Christians that are rich in grace, but they ain't enjoying their riches. They're living like broke paupers. No joy, no peace, no excitement, no thrill, no motivation, no fulfillment. And they're scratching their head. How can I be rich on paper in the Bible, but I don't seem like I'm rich in experience? I'll tell you what Paul said. Work out your own salvation. You got a mind and you own it. You didn't buy it. Jesus bought it and deeded it to you with his name on it. But if you're going to enjoy it, you can't just tell everybody you own a mine. Grab your bucket, grab your shovel, find out where the gold is, and work it out. If you're living like a broke Christian, be quiet. You're telling on yourself. Because there's gold in the ground. You might be too lazy to dig. Amen. I'm telling you, this Bible's full of gold. You ain't gonna enjoy it if you don't read it. Amen. God's full of blessings, but you ain't gonna enjoy them if you don't get to know him. The Christian life is off the chart, but you ain't gonna know it unless you get a bucket and get a shovel and work it out. Now, does that cater gazomai make sense? So he's not telling you to work to get saved. He's saying work because you got saved. And we can only get saved once, but until we go to heaven, we can continue to discover the wealth of the one salvation we've received every single day. We received it one time, but we can get more out of it every time. Don't you think that the exhaustion of your salvation was getting out of hell? That's not it. If all God did was keep you out of hell, he'd have took you to heaven the day you got saved. He left you here because there's more to salvation than missing hell. It's about walking with God. So work out your own salvation. Submission is a workout. We're talking about the submissive mind. And Paul's saying, you're going to heaven because of grace. We heard songs about that tonight. Hymns, choir song, and special. And they were all good. And you can go home and still live broke. You ever met these people that were involved in one of these pyramid schemes? And this is what they tell you. I'm rich on paper. Let me tell you, I look at all this stuff right here. I remember a guy that was telling me that. Remember Leon? You remember him? That's been about 20 years ago. Ain't no way he gonna listen to this one message, so it's all right. And I didn't say his last name, so. But he was one of the pyramid schemes, and he sat us all down. He came on my office one day, and he showed me all, flipped all these things. He said, "I'm a millionaire on paper." I said, can you pay your mortgage like that? Can you take what you own on paper to the line at Harris Teeter? Put all them groceries in the shopping cart and say, "I'd like to pay for these groceries with my money on paper." Can you do it? So here's what they're saying. In theory and in prospect, if everything pans out like this paper says it's going to pan out, one day I'm going to be rich. The problem is, what you're going to be one day ain't going to help you today. Now listen to me. The moment you got saved, you became rich. But you can't enjoy the riches of your salvation if you're not willing to work out. Oh, Pastor, I just feel like my Christian life is not going anywhere. Shh. You have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. I mean, the God that created the whole universe lives inside of you. And you telling people you're not going anywhere? Shh. You're not going anywhere because you're not using what's inside of you. And you're not using what's inside of you because you don't embrace submission, because submission requires a workout. Now, let me give you just one point tonight, and then I'll finish. Because I want the next several weeks as we deal with this, I want you to understand the concept. Cater Gazoma, listen, Pastor, every day that I'm alive in Christ, I'm digging for gold. I'm digging for gold. I'm digging for gold. By the way, the good thing about the Christian life is you'll never get all of it. But you can keep digging. Come on, long into the Christian life, we're still learning stuff we haven't learned yet. Long into reading through the Bible, we're still getting stuff out of the text we've read 50 times that we never saw before. Did God put new gold in the ground? No. Just the more you dig, the more you discover. Amen. I'm telling you, this thing gets better and better every day. Happy Christians are digging Christians. Dying Christians are lazy Christians. Unhappy Christians are bored Christians. Bored Christians are not excited Christians. Unexcited Christians are not working Christians. The more that I learn about Jesus, the more I want to know about him. So in order to work out, you need a humble approach. Write this down. A humble approach. Which requires servant's faithfulness. Now look here. My beloved, the saved people, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence. Here's what we're saying. When I was with you all, you were good folk listening. Obeying the Lord. You're obedient Christians. But here's what he's saying. You want the most out of your salvation. You want a submissive mind that requires a workout. You can't just obey when I'm watching. You got to obey when I'm not watching. In other words, live for God, Philippians, now that I'm locked up in jail, like you lived for God when I was there with you. Now, I'm telling you, all of us in the building, we're all different. We're never going to all be at the same social level. We were talking yesterday. They were giving us options about insurance. Some people can afford this. Some people can afford this. Some people can afford this. Some people have parents that need this. Some people have. Everybody's got different needs based on our own situation. We're never going to all arrive at the same level economically. But can I tell you, there is something that everybody in this auditorium can do, and that is be faithful. Amen. You may not be able to make as much as the next person, and don't let that bother you. You got to learn, and we'll be there in chapter 4, how to be content. But wherever you are and whatever God has given you, there is never an excuse not to be faithful. You know what the word faithful is? Consistent, reliable, loyal. 1 Corinthians 15, steadfast. If you're a choir member, are you faithful? I'm not just asking how much you give every week. I'm asking you, do you give every week? Are you a faithful soul winner? Are you a faithful worshiper? Are you a faithful prayer? Are you a faithful encourager? Everybody can be faithful. It requires servant's faithfulness. You gotta do right, not because of who's watching. You gotta do right because it's right. Servant's faithfulness. And write this down. Solemn fear. Work out your Don't miss that. Wait. Work out your. Don't be digging mine. Dig your own. Huh? When God saved you, did he save you? Then if he saved you, work out your own. Enjoy the Lord for yourself. Love God for yourself. Not through your parents. Not through your pastor. Enjoy God for yourself. Dig. Thank God for preaching. And I think you ought to be here when it's going on. I think we ought to listen. And thank God people take notes and people go back and listen. And thank God for preaching. But if all the Bible you get is from me, you're going to die. Could I tell you that some Christians, the reason why their Christianity never hits an apex is because they leave their buckets and shovels at their pew. And the service is over and they go, oh, there's my Bible for the week. They set their shovel down. They set their bucket down. Make sure they set it right on the pew, because nobody else better bring their bucket and shovel to their pew the next time they come to church, right? That's my pew right there. My bucket, my shovel. Said my name on it. D-U-N-N. And nobody better sit. And listen to me. And people don't like, didn't you see my bucket there?
Yes.
Now you know good and well my shovel's there every week. And now I come in here, you sitting in my, you ain't a visitor. You're a church member in my seat.
Come on now.
Welcome back to your seats back there. Amen. And here's what happens. They don't take it home. So in between Sunday and Wednesday, say, this devil said, it's a good time to get them. Get them while they don't got the bucket.
Right?
And I hear some people say, Pastor, I feel so miserable all throughout the week. When I finally get to church, I finally feel better. I'm glad I don't got to make it to this building to feel good about being saved.
Amen.
I'm glad that on Monday I can dig. And on Tuesday I can dig. And on Wednesday I can enjoy digging better because I was digging Monday and Tuesday. So it must require servants' faithfulness, but here it is, solemn fear. Work out your own salvation. And finish the verse with me, with fear and trembling. All right, here's a bucket. I'm digging. Some of it's dirt and some of it's gold. Let's get some water here. By the way, the Bible tells us the washing of the water by the word. How do we test what looks like gold to see whether it is gold? Run it through the book. Amen. The book will prove it. Try it through fire. Amen. The book will prove it. How do I know if somebody teaching what he says is the truth is heresy or a lie? See if it matches up with the book. And if that joker is a preacher and ain't preaching the book, throw him out and come back here and get some gold. Amen. So what you decide to do is determine by the grace of God, not everything that glitters is gold. And then once I find out it's gold, I put it in the bucket. But here's what Paul says. As I'm digging, I need to dig with two things. Fear and trembling. Okay? He says, here's what I got to have. There's got to be something inside of me that comes by the way of reverence, amen, and respect. Fear and trembling. Here's the problem with most of the Christian life. We've gotten used to doing Christian stuff with no fear. We read this Bible like it's a little journal, a little Disney book, a little fairy tale. We pray like we talking to anybody. Huh? Now, don't talk to me while I'm watching the game. You see me watching the game? Don't call me. Pastor, I called you. Was it during the game? You didn't think I was going to answer, right? But you answer while you're reading your Bible. And you get up while you're praying. You don't want all that running around while you're looking at something important. But you got TV on and a bunch of foolish conversations while you're reading your Bible. You know why? No fear. You're digging, but no fear. So the Christian life has become sloppy. We got a bunch of folks with buckets, but half the bucket is dirt because they've been digging with no fear. And they're walking around telling everybody they're good Christians. And everybody's going, yeah, pretty good Christian. They got a big old bucket full. Look what's inside of it. It's full of dirt because their digging has been with no fear. Listen to me. I'm all for reading the Bible, but I've told some people you would do better to read 2 chapters with fear than 10 chapters just say you read them. Come on. Now, if you read and comprehend, listen, I'm at the level where I read more. I try to give attention to it. But I'm not reading just so I can go around and tell people, guess how many verses I read. If you read them and you're not listening to them and you don't know what you read, you're just reading to say you read. When you open the Bible, don't listen like it's Fox News or CNN or some psychiatrist. This is God speaking to you. Have some fear. And some trembling. I'll make sure that I do this thing right. God gave me, listen. God bought this mind for me. God sent Jesus on the cross to shed his blood to purchase my gold mine. Let me treat it with fear. Watch this now. Oh, that's gold in my shovel. Let's make sure that all of it gets from the shovel to the bucket. Huh? Now watch it now. Before long, I'll start saying in closing, and you'll start tucking your Bible away, putting your pen away, and you missed the last 5 minutes of the message because I said in closing. Could I remind you, there could be some gold in that last 5 minutes.
You're right.
Huh?
Come on, man.
Don't check out till we check out. You want to make sure you don't just get the bulk of the gold. You want to make sure you get all the gold. Don't... In transferring the shovel to the bucket, make sure nothing falls out. Huh? Make sure you don't go out of this auditorium tonight and get involved in some gossip and conversation that gold that was trying to get from the sermon to your bucket doesn't get in because you let some foolish conversation make the gold miss the bucket. Anybody listening? That's what fear and trembling does. It causes a seriousness and a somberness to the Christian life that says, I don't want to miss what God has for me. This is too good. Gold spins. Amen. When you're a Christian and you got gold in your bucket, could I tell you, it'll spend in the Christian life. It'll keep you out of sin. It will spend. When the devil comes along and tries to treat you like you're in poverty and like you're a pauper, you got that gold in your bucket. And you remind him, I'm rich in Jesus. Amen. But if all you tell him is, I've been saved for 25 years, and he goes, great, but what's in the bucket? You don't get gold for each year you're saved. You get the mine. And then you get in your bucket what you work out to put in there. Let's get busy this week, amen? Between this Sunday and Wednesday, get some gold in your bucket. And determined by the grace of God, I couldn't afford the mine. Thank God Jesus bought it. But I do have a shovel, and I do have a bucket, and by God's grace, cater goes oh my. If it's in the mine, I can't enjoy it till it's in the bucket. Amen. So in the spirit of submission, I'm committed to work out. Father, help us. Forgive us for lazy Christianity. Expecting you to feed us everything, for us to put the bucket on the porch at night and wake up full of gold the next morning. It doesn't work that way. You put the gold in the mine. You bought the mine and deeded it to us. Now it's up to us to get digging. May we not be jealous of those who are enjoying more gold, and may we be more committed to dig for our own. After all, if you gave us our own mind, then we ought to work out our own salvation. And for heaven's sake, may Christianity return back to fear and trembling. In Jesus' name, amen.